And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. We are winding it down. It is always awesome when we have Brian on. Don't forget, check him out at flaghill.com. You know, if you have people who come up and visit you during the summer and spring and you're not sure what to do with it and you don't want to clean your house, yeah, pop them in the car and go over to Flag Hill. There's probably something going on over there. Also, go into the tasting room. You can pick out the liquor and the wine that you want to taste. It's just a nice, fun event that you need to think about us too. And then, once again, if you've got kids with too much energy, put them out in that field and tell them to go find the pigs. They'll never find them, but they are there, and they'll be safe. So it's really just a fun time. Lexi Letty, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Outstanding. So let's talk about Lexi. One, she tried the donuts. Two, she was here for the interview and thought it was really fascinating. So let's talk a little bit about Lexi. So many of you know, and I've talked about this in my article and on the air, I'm really trying to be much different about how I approach this show. You guys can listen to any radio station. In fact, you can listen to this radio station and get 24/7 politics. It ain't working, folks. We're at each other's throats. People that we normally respect, people we have to work with every single day, have these major disagreements, and it's affecting us. So a few weeks ago, I was actually looking on Facebook, and I was looking at people who I just thought put a positive presence the way Facebook was, and there, lo and behold, is Lexi. And I reached out to Lexi and said, you know, it'd be nice if every once in a while you came on the show, because I just thought it's the kind of personality you want to have. So, Lexi, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
And then for all you people think I'm stalking you and I send you emails, because some of you don't return my emails, like, what the hell does he want me on the radio for? Please answer. It's just a different approach, and you'd be surprised what people want to hear. They do. This is one of the most popular shows we have on the station. There's a reason why people want to listen to it. It certainly isn't because I have an awesome voice. It's because we are talking about things that we all are thinking about but not saying out loud. But what I do want to talk about is this, is that so when we talk about two things. I'm going to talk about your dog here in a minute because that's the most awesome story. But I want to talk a little about real estate. So tell people a little bit about what you do as a profession, just an awesome Facebooker.
Okay. I do residential real estate sales in Maine and New Hampshire.
Exciting.
It's very exciting. People are, always ask me, they're like, what do you do? I was like, real estate. And what does that entail exactly? helping people buy and sell homes. I mean, it's not, whenever I go to a networking event, there's always these people who have these fascinating jobs and they elaborate on their job description for, 2 minutes and then it gets to me and I do real estate and I help people buy and sell homes.
Right. And we were talking off air a little bit, because I'm an educator in the insurance industry, and I always try to remind people when I look at these pillars of things that are very vital, they're foundational elements of our community, real estate being one of them, insurance being another one. I tell people to stop calling yourself a salesperson because you're really doing a lot more, aren't you?
Yes. I mean, it ranges from, you would use the word advisor. That's definitely primary facet. I would also argue therapist. I have my undergrad degree in psychology, and there's not a day that goes by where I don't use it. When I sit down with my clients at the beginning of the process, whether they're buying or selling, I let them know, at some point in this process, one of you, if it's a couple, if it's just one person, I'll just say you are going to go off the deep end.
Yeah.
And they think I'm kidding and they laugh and ha ha ha. And I said, I know you think I'm kidding. I go, but remember this conversation when it actually happens, because 99% of the time it does. I go, it's an emotional, the biggest purchase or biggest home sale or sale that someone's going to do.
Oh, sure.
So I like to kind of set that precedent. So advisor, therapist, we're not financial advisors, we're not attorneys, we're not accountants.
Sure.
So we tell people that, sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. So anytime that they need advice on that, we kind of direct them to that. But other than that, you are in the trenches with these people for, if it's quick, 45 days, 30 to 45 days, if they've buy the first house that they see, or you might be with these people for years. So, and that's part of the, it's one of the many reasons I love real estate, because you do get close with these people. And then on the day of the closing, it's very bittersweet because, they just closed on a house and they're pumped. But then you kind of realize, oh, I'm not going to talk to this person every day or every 5 minutes or talk them off the ledge at 5 in the morning or 9 o'clock at night, you know, and they're like, what about this? I think I forgot about this. And it's like, you're good. You're good. If I'm not panicking, you don't need to panic. So we're good.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's really sweet. And I think it actually surprises a lot of people. They're like, oh my God, like, who am I going to send Sean Connery memes to, you know, every other day?
Awesome.
And so when I,
you can send them to me. It's, give me that client's name.
I really enjoy becoming friends with my client. You know, it doesn't happen all the time, but I have a lot of really good friends because they were clients.
So Lexi Letty, once again, remind everybody which real estate agent you work for.
Great Island Realty. We have offices located in Portsmouth and Dover.
So a fun group. And so a couple things about that. One thing you brought up when we were talking about, you know, what I didn't overly ask what it's like to be a real estate advisor. One of the things that you brought up that I thought was fascinating is that most clients actually see the strengths of the property that you're showing. There's clear features that stand out. But you do something a little different when you're going through the tour. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I'm all about setting expectations. And, you know, I think a lot of time, I don't want to say a lot of the time, but I think real estate agents are kind of lumped in with car salesmen. Not that there's anything wrong with car salesmen, but, you know, there's a stereotype out there. Sorry. God, I think I just offended like a lot
That's
of
okay.
people. Sorry, Jeff. You're
this
listenership.
Is not a show unless I offended the whole country of Canada one
your
weekend.
Your listenership
so don't worry
is just going to go down. Sorry. Anyway, so I think a lot of people, you know, lump that in with real estate agents where real estate agents are just pushing, you know, their clients to like buy something. Go buy this. This is amazing. This is amazing. What I do is, you know, I always want my folks to be happy at a closing. So I never want them to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I bought this house. Like, I didn't think about this. So when I go into a showing and I tell them this, I say, I'm going to point out everything that is wrong with this house and play devil's advocate. And, you know, a buyer might be distracted by, you know, the pretty staging and the decorations and all that, but that's going to be gone,
right?
You know, when they buy it. So I say, all right, well, you're on a busy street. You know, how do you feel about that? And I always tell people, you want to look at it from a resale perspective, because heaven forbid something happens and you have to sell this quickly.
Right.
You know, anything that's wrong with it, that's what's going to happen when future buyers are going to buy your house from you. So, you know, you want to take into consideration it's a one bedroom. You want to take into consideration that it's on a busy street. You want to take into consideration that all the systems, you know, the non-sexy things, but to real estate agents, like they see a new furnace and they're like, oh my God, this
That's
is the
great.
Best house ever. You know, new roof, new, you know, not the paint color, not, you know,
right.
Because those are all things that you can change. I also have that conversation with buyers, you know, when I start off, it's like, well, how much work are you willing to do? You know, can you see past, you know, paint colors? Can you see past flooring? Can you see the potential in a house?
Right.
When I first bought a house, I didn't have my real estate license yet, but my agent at the time, you know, I was looking in Portsmouth, but, you know, Portsmouth is not affordable. And I mean, at the time it was even, the prices were dramatically lower at that time, but I was still, you know, a young kid. I couldn't afford a lot. And she goes, we'll find it. Like, we'll find it. So she found this house. Before we went in there, she said, I need you to see the potential in this. And I looked at her, I said, how bad is this house? But we walked in and it was going back into a time warp, you know, 1960s. It had shag green carpeting,
awesome.
Mint paint, yellow and orange linoleum.
So you went to see my parents' house.
I said hi. I said hello to them for you. And the moment I fell in love with real estate, I pulled up the shag green carpeting and there was these beautiful hardwood floors underneath.
Yeah.
That was the moment that I fell in love with real estate. So I've bought a couple houses. I've renovated a couple houses, which has also helped with the real estate aspect because I love taking down walls. So that's my thing. So when I walk into a house and, you know, people can't necessarily see it, I'll say to them, like, well, you could take this down, or you could put this here, you could put that there. And I think that's helped quite a bit. But I'm so passionate about real estate. So one of my goals is to get my buyers as excited about it as I am. And at the end being like, wow, I really want it. I mean, I've had a couple clients that I say, you know, you ever think about going into real estate? Because you'd be really good at it. And there's been a couple people that, you know, I know they're scratching their heads. Because it's, you know, people will ask me, how do you get business? And, you know, I don't go door knocking. You're welcome. People ask me what I do and I say real estate, and everyone or right. I would argue 99.9% of people want to talk about real estate. It is the strangest thing. That
like
and
cooking.
Dogs. That and dogs. And cooking.
And cooking. We'll talk about dogs here in a minute, too. One of the interesting things, and I forgot about this, I featured you in one of my articles a couple of years ago, and this is what I want to talk about next, is that one of the things I found fascinating about you and the company is the connection to the community. So it's not just about selling houses for you guys, which
for sure.
I love. Is it difficult? Because you pick a different charity every month, I think. And because some companies just don't do that, Lexi. They don't. And it seems kind of unique. I thought it was very unique how you guys handled that.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I love about Janet Sylvester and Margaret Pesci, they're the owners and managing brokers of Great Island, and they're incredible human beings and lovely. And they have always, you know, believed in giving back. I think, you know, they're on the board for Chase Home, and they're big supporters of Big Brothers Big Sisters, you know, and that was a huge reason why I went over there, is because their philosophy on life, not just business, but on life, is, you know, giving back. And their thought is, you know, whatever you give back comes back to you, you know, potentially not monetarily, but, you know, it feels good.
Right.
So, and how I started doing what I do is, there was actually another agent that was giving quarterly to one specific charity. And I thought, you know, wow, that's really amazing. And I think that's a really good thing to do. And I was brought up, my family has been heavily involved in the nonprofit sector. My grandfather started the Capital Region Food Program out of Concord. So I grew up around that. I like to tell people the story of my mother, who is a saint and just a ridiculous human being. In case you're listening, Mom, you're welcome. She did an activity with my brother. And my dad's great, too, Dad. Shout out. Dad, you're good, too.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You
I know.
Get the card
oh, man.
Sure, sure.
I think you're in Florida. So she did a project with my brother and I where she had us decorate coffee cans with construction paper and markers. And she said, you know, one can is for spending, one can is for saving, and one can is for charity and donations. And every time you get a dollar, divide it into three. So 33 cents in one, 33. Or she goes, you know, however you see fit. So I put all my money in saving. My brother put all of his money in spending. Neither one of us put any money in charity. You're like, man, you know, when you're like 8 and, you know, 11, you don't really think about that. But so to fast forward how I started, that other agent was doing something similar, and I thought that was really cool. One of my friends was running the Boston Marathon at the time, and she was raising money for Dana-Farber, and she had a fundraiser that a bunch of my friends went to, and she was short, you know, I think she was short by like $1,000 for, you know, to get to her mark, and she would have had to pay it out of her own pocket.
Yeah.
So on the way there, I'm thinking to myself, why don't I just give her a check for $1,000 and like that'll be my first quarter charity?
That's cool.
Yeah. And so when she opened the card, it was so heartwarming, like how much it meant to her. And she's like, I can't believe that you would do that. And I was like, well, I'm going to start this, you know, program. Like, you're my first recipient. So then it was kind of like, all right, well, how, you know, who's next? And so so then I was like, you know, I'm really passionate about dogs. You know, PTSD is a real thing. You know, I like to think of myself as emotionally aware. So I know a lot of people struggle with anxiety. I get anxiety from time to time. I really don't know a lot of people who don't get anxiety.
Sure.
And when I got my dog, she helped with that tremendously. So I started researching different organizations, and I saw a Facebook post from Hero Pups on, you know, local. And so I just found the information, and I reached out to the email, and I said, you know, my name is Lexi Letty, and I do, you know, this quarterly donation, and I'd like to chat with you about, you know, you guys being the second quarter recipient. And Laura Barker emailed me back. I don't know if she emailed me or called me, but regardless, we set up a time to talk, and she goes, I got to be honest with you. She's like, this morning, or it was like yesterday, she goes, I was panicking because we are looking to do a project, and I just didn't know where the money was going to come from.
Yeah.
And then I got an email from you. So I chatted with her for like an hour. I went out and visited, and the story is just unbelievable. Like, she runs this ridiculous, for those of you who are not familiar with it, it's called Hero Pups, and they provide service dogs for vets with PTSD and first responders. And it's just an amazing program. And that's not even her full-time job. She does it on a volunteer basis.
She does a lot, too.
She does, yeah.
And so one of the things, so once again, we're talking to Lexi Letty. We're going to have her on as often as she wants to come on. She can hang out and do the interviews. And of course, she loves the donuts.
Yes, so, I do love the donuts.
I'm going to repost the article, which both of you were featured in, just kind of like a throwback for people to kind of...
That was a really sweet article.
Well, you know, the thing is like, once again, I'm not a sweet person, but I am impressed by people who take it upon themselves to be their brother's keeper. And I know that sounds kind of odd, and that was a wonderful story about your mom as well. If people want to find out more about you, how can they do that, Lexi?
Sure. I'm on Facebook. My profile is public.
And it's great Facebook, people. that's what brought me, like I said, if you're just kind of tired of the beating up that's going on social media, Lexi does a wonderful job to make you smile.
Usually it's posting things that I do to embarrass myself.
Easy enough. So next time we have you on, too, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But we're also going to talk about your dog because we haven't got time to talk about him now. But Lexi, thanks for popping in.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So wonderful show today, guys. It's going to be up online later on as well. Don't forget, we'll talk a little bit about some of the other charity things that we're thinking about as well here. I do want to remind you, if you are a small business, if you are a nonprofit and you're looking for attention, please, nhperspective@gmail.com, nhperspective@gmail.com. This is what this show is for. It's for you guys. And I would love to chat with you. That's all we have time for this week. Don't forget to catch me Mondays and Fridays with Jack. And do not forget as well, LFOD.
This has been New Hampshire Today, Weekend Edition with Jeff Chittister on News Radio 610 at 96.7. We'll be back next week. And don't forget to tune in to New Hampshire Today with Jack Heath, Monday morning from 6 to 9 on News Radio 610 at 96.7, New Hampshire's news, traffic, and weather station.
Out here in the field.